The reading today is from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man, crippled from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
Let's just pray for Nick as he brings God's word to us. Father, we thank you for Nick and Sharon and the family. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for them. And now as Nick brings your word to us, Lord, I pray that you would just empower him by your Holy Spirit and that we would have...
Morning. Hopefully we'll have some slides. So just to remind ourselves, currently our sermon and study series is looking at life on the front line. It's designed to help people seek to live out their faith within their daily life. And today we're looking at this idea of living and hearing from God in the everyday. Hearing and living for God in the everyday. Now, perhaps you might be thinking, this is all well and good, trying to live out my faith in my daily life, but life is busy. Now, I know this is true because I see how busy life is in our household. For Esther, for Sharon and myself. And actually, I look in on other people's environments and see life is busy for them too. Life is not, you know, just filled with nothing. We have things to do, don't we? You have things to do in your day. And so today, as we think about living life on the front line, we will be thinking, well, I can't fit that in. I've got the kids to get here, I've got this to do, I've got that to do. I believe there is a rhythm, a daily rhythm within our everyday. We have a rhythm that we live. What does your daily life look like? As O2 says, it suggests there's a rhythm. It can be all sorts of things. There's work, there's rest, there's play. I want you to take a moment and think back over the past week at the everyday that you've experienced. Okay? I want you to think back over the last week at the everyday that you have experienced. But so in your everyday, call out a couple of things. What have you done? What's your everyday been like this week? What have you done? Dog walking. Riding. Driving. Caring. Working. Washing. Moving. Meetings. Dancing. Worshipping. Hospital. Shopping. School. Yeah. Ironing. Looking after sheep.
Eating.
Okay. But our day. So if you listen, and I imagine the conversations you had with various people, you probably discovered that each of your everydays was different. In fact, if we think about our own everyday over the past seven, I can't imagine that all of your seven were exactly the same. They had differences in them with varied opportunities. You had varied opportunities. We all know that our lives are busy and often rather mundane, full of the everyday. So as we consider life on the front line, we need to understand that living out our faith every day doesn't need to increase our busyness. Okay? Living out our faith every day doesn't need to increase our busyness. Perhaps in thinking about our daily lives, we need to consider, are we doing too much? Okay, it is appropriate for me this morning just to mention this because we're talking about the everyday. We're talking about how we live. And I know, as I've said already, we live busy lives. Society says you should be doing this, 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 and this, doesn't it? Most of us are running from one thing to another to another. Perhaps we need to have an appraisal on our life and discern what's needed and what's not. I'm reminded of the phrase human doings. That is, that what the world wants us to be, they want us to be human doers rather than human beings. Life is more than just doing. Okay? Life is more than just doing. Life is about being. And it's taking those moments in life when actually I would just be still and be. If you think back to the last 3 months, hands up if you've done that at least once. One, two. Just the being still and being and experiencing a moment. Have you done that in the last 3 months? One, two. Okay, some of us have, that's great, but some of us haven't. Okay? Because we're so busy. So as I'm talking about hearing God in the everyday, I also want us to just be aware and consider, am I being too busy? God rested. Do we rest? That's not my theme for this morning, but that's just something I thought I had to share this morning, being that we're talking about life, living every day. We need to know that living for God is not another task on our to-do list. Okay? My wife is a to-do list person. She loves lists. She loves listing things to do. And it's not, we don't put knowing God better on a to-do list. Okay? It's just not another task for us to do. It's part of our everyday. It's part of what we do. It means hearing God in the everyday. Something that our reading today reveals and offers a principle that we can live by. I'm going to read Acts 3 again. Thank you, Margaret, for reading it earlier. I'm going to read it from the NLV, which is the New Living Version. It says this: Peter and John heal a man at the gate of the house of God. Peter and John were going to the house of God about 3 o'clock. It was a time for prayer. Each day, a certain man was carried to the beautiful gate of the house of God. This man had never been able to walk. He was there begging for money from those who were going in. He asked Peter and John, looked at him, and then Peter said, "Look at us." The man who could not walk looked at them. He thought he would get something from them. Peter said, "I have no money, but what I have, I will give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." Peter took the man by the right hand and lifted him up. At once, his feet, the bones in his legs became strong. He jumped up on his feet and walked. Then he went into the house of God with them. He gave thanks to God as he walked. All the people were walking and giving thanks to God. They knew it was the man who had been sitting and begging at the beautiful gate. They were surprised he was walking. Hearing God in the everyday. It was just an ordinary day for Peter and John. The opening of chapter 3, we see that this was just part of Peter and John's everyday. They were looking to attend the 3 o'clock prayer meeting in the temple, as many did. It wasn't anything special. It was just part of their everyday routine, alongside meeting other people, shopping, working. And it was just an ordinary day for the disabled man. If we look at verse 2, this was part of his everyday routine. He was carried out and left on the steps. And there he would beg for money and food to enable him to live another day. Peter and John went up to the temple, or were going up. They had passed through the Gentile court of the temple and came to a gate leading into the inner court, which was called Beautiful, from its artistic excellence. When they were arrested by the sight of a lame beggar who had been carried there day after day after day for many years to appeal. Imagine if that was your every day placed in the same spot, and that's all you could do. By the display of his helplessness to the entering worshippers. That's what he was there. He says, "Look, if we put him there, because they'll feel sorry for him." And precisely similar sights we can see in Peterborough, can't you? You can walk through Peterborough and see people begging on the street. They may not be disabled, but they're begging on the street. And we see them day by day. And obviously, this beggar, he mechanically wailed out his formula, apparently scarcely looking at the two strangers, not expecting a response. Long habit and many rebuffs had not made him hopeful, but it was his business to ask, and so he asked. And we see that in Peterborough, don't we? We see homeless people, "Have you got any money? Got any change? Have you got any change?" And they don't really engage eyes with you. They say, "Have you got anything?" Because they're used to people saying, "No, go away, I'm not interested," or walking around them. And that's what was going on here. He was like, it's just a formula that came out. "I need money, alms, 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 alms," wanting, and he might get something every 1 in 10, he might get somebody give something. He was just a formula he was using. There must have been something magnetic in Peter's voice and steady gaze as he said, "Look on us." It was a strange preface, if only some small coin was to follow. It kindled some flicker of hope. Maybe he's going to give me some money. I can survive another day. He expected to receive something from them, and no doubt was asking himself what that was. His expectation and receptivity were being stirred, because Somebody had taken notice. Somebody had said, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. We have no right to assume that his state of mind was operative in fitting him to be cured, nor to be called an attitude of faith. But still, he was lifted from his usual dreary hopelessness, and some strange anticipation was creeping in. Then comes the grand word of power. Again, Peter is spokesman, but John takes part, silently, with a fixed gaze, which told of concentrated purpose, and went to the lame man's heart. Peter triumphantly avows with most men are ashamed of, you know, and we try to hide. He comes out with, silver and gold have I none. He's basically saying, I've got nothing. I don't often say that. Do you? Would you be willing to say, everybody, just to let you know, I've got no money whatsoever, I'm bankrupt. You don't often hear people saying that, do they, in public? Because they are ashamed. He says, Peter says, silver and gold have I none. He had left everything and followed Christ. He had not made demands on the common stock. Empty pockets may go along with true wealth. There is a fine flash of exultant confidence in Peter's next words. For he says, what I have. Repeat that. What I have. The expression eloquently magnifies the power which he possessed as far more precious than wealth. It speaks of the assurance that he did possess. It is an assurance which is rested not only on his faith in his Lord's promise and gift, but on his experience in working former miracles. How deep his words go into the obligations of possession. What I have, I give you. Now that should be the law, all Christians, in regard to all that they have, and especially in regard to spiritual riches, should be. We should be saying, all that I have, I give you. All that I have. Do you say that? Or do you think, oh, you can have that, but you can't have that bit? Here he's saying, all that I have, Peter's saying, all that I have, I give you. And basically, what's all that Peter has? Jesus. Jesus is all that he has. God gives us these not only in order that we may enjoy them ourselves. Peter recognizes, because it's great that I know God and I know Jesus. He is my life. But it is also so that he can impart it on other people. And so in our measure, enter into the joy of our Lord and know the greater blessedness of giving than receiving. How often is it been true that a poor church has been a miracle-working church, and that when it could not say, silver and gold have I none, it has also lost the power of saying, in the name of Christ Jesus of Nazareth, walk. The actual miracle is most graphically narrated. With magnificent boldness, Peter rolls out his master's name there in the temple courts. Careless who may hear, he didn't care. He takes the very name that has been used to scorn and waves it like a banner of victory. His confidence in his possession of power was not confidence in him, but in his Lord. When we can peel forth the name with as much assurance of its miracle-working power as Peter did, we too will see amazing things happen. The process of cure is minutely described. Peter put out his hand to help the lame man up. And while he was doing so, power came into the shrunken muscles, into the weakened ankles, into the bones, so that the cripple, who'd never walked at all, felt that he could rise himself, and through all passed in a moment, was able to stand and leap and dance. Then came an instant of standing still to steady himself and make sure of his new strength. And then he began to walk. People were amazed. The crowd were amazed because they knew this man. They'd seen him week in, week out, being carried in, carried out. This ordinary, everyday day became an extraordinary day for Peter and John and for the disabled man. I say this because they heard God in the everyday. And when God is heard and obeyed in the everyday, that everyday becomes an extraordinary day. Considering the everyday, perhaps you are thinking, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. In fact, I'm overloaded. I can't take on anymore. I can't take on anymore. God calls us to rest. Therefore, we need to seek a balanced everyday. Ensure that our daily rhythm is appropriate. In considering that God acts in the everyday, if we are Christians, then we, like Peter and John, are to take whatever opportunities that arise, which is what we have read about this morning. They may not even be noticeable in their basicness, but it's in the ordinary that God moves. It's in the ironing that God moves. Okay, it's in the ironing, it's in the driving, God moves. It's in the shopping that God moves. It's in the worshiping that God moves. It's in the hospital visit. It's in those moments when you are broken, God moves. It's in those moments when your work colleague irritates you, God moves. An example, maybe a bit later, Kerry, one of the children of our church, stepped out and started collecting chocolate bars for the homeless. She heard God in the everyday and acted. She heard in the everyday and acted. The challenge for you might be to take the first step and follow your gut. Recently, I have felt the encouragement to talk to the guy who's been decorating outside. We've had this guy who's, you know, working. He's done a really great job on rebuilding the windows and decorating. And I was prompted. I was reading a book, and I thought, do you know what? I've got to be living it out. I'm preaching it from the front. I'm telling you what you need to be doing. I need to be living it out myself. Okay? So I went and spoke to him. I was like, oh. What's he going to do? He's going to think, oh, this is a Bible basher. But I just thought, actually, it's an opportunity for him to meet a Christian. And he's been here for weeks. So I said, I'm going to talk to him. So I went up and said, hi, Lennon. What did you think when you came along here? What did you think about the church? What were you thinking was going to happen? And he goes, oh, I don't know. I just thought it was going to, it could be a bit weird. But we then engaged in a conversation. We talked about God and who God is. Okay, and I thought, what do I do? So I stepped up in the everyday and I spoke to him. In doing this, I've actually now invited him to come along. We've had several conversations and I've invited him to come along to a Sunday service. And he's planning to come to the 24th of this month. I think it's the 27th. That's the last weekend of October. That Sunday, he's going to come. Because I've invited him to come. Because I also want to, I just wanted to bring him into church and then publicly say thank you to the work that he's done. And to ask God's blessing on him. He doesn't yet know God for himself, but he sees God because of the conversations that I've had with him. And so I want to encourage him and I want to bless him. Just as Joseph blessed Potiphar, didn't he? You see that? That blessing of Joseph living in Potiphar's home caused his home to be blessed, to see good things happening. And I just think, I want to encourage Lennon. So that will be on the 27th. He's going to come in, I hope. And I want to publicly say thank you. I don't know what's going on in your life. You do. Maybe there are times, opportunities like that for you. If you're part of a life group, you're going to be watching the video this week. And part of that video, there is a meeting between a guy who's a health inspector and he goes in. It's obviously staged because it's not real. But it's he goes into this bloke's shop and says, oh, it's appalling, and he's about to shut him down. If he doesn't get it sorted by the following weekend, he's going to get shut down. But God speaks to this guy who's the health inspector, who's a Christian, and says, actually, I need to do something. So he helps. He helps in the everyday. And you'll see that when you watch that video. So it is very much thinking about what I do in the everyday. As I work in the butchers, as I work in the school, as I work in the government, as I work, you know, labouring in the gardens of people's, you know, as I work on the internet, as I work with people, how I interact with people, it's God in the everyday. Is there an opportunity for me to share Christ? Whether that's verbally saying, actually, do you know, I'm a Christian and I've had a great weekend. When somebody says, what did you do at the weekend? How many of you say, well, I went to church? A few. Okay, good. But do you then say, actually, I met with God? Or do you say, yeah, I went to church? But we come to meet with God, don't we? So actually, I met God and he's a life changer. Opportunities in the everyday. Open our ears. You may be retired and think, well, that doesn't apply to me. It does apply to you. Sorry, you're retired. In fact, you've got more of an issue because you've got more people that you're interacting with. You've got more tasks that you can be. Where's God working in my everyday? Whether you're at school, at work, or retired, your everyday, where's God? Listening out to hear God in the everyday. Because he is speaking, he is whispering, he's saying, do this. Peter and John, didn't they? They had that gut. Right? They saw this and they we need to respond. There was a need, they responded in the everyday. And it transformed into an extraordinary day. For some of us, perhaps in hearing our reading this morning, we don't really identify with Peter and John. We're not like, oh yeah, I'm a Christian and I'm responding to God. Maybe we're either like the one who was healed, or we're part of the crowd that are amazed. Maybe you're one of those. Do you need to hear God in the everyday through actions? Or do you see God in the everyday through the actions and words of those people around you? And you think, oh, why are they doing that? Why are they acting like that? It's because maybe they're a Christian. Why don't they respond to the gossip? Why don't they join in with that? Why are they always positive? Well, I encourage you, if you're like that, why not ask them why they are like that? Perhaps considering the account today, they're looking to share Jesus with you. Or maybe you're just amazed at what's going on. Again, consider God, because he works in the everyday. So for those of us who acknowledge Jesus as our Redeemer, we need to remember that in our everyday encounters, let's be aware of the Spirit, of God working through the Spirit, of the nudges, of the everyday. If we take notice of people and situations around us, God might make the everyday an extraordinary day. How wonderful would that be? And my urge would be that be the case for you. To see God moving in your everyday. That would inspire us, wouldn't it? Well, it would inspire me. If I had God working in my life, in my everyday, it would inspire me, and I want it to inspire you. So let's consider that. Whatever age we are, we need to remember that in our everyday encounters, God speaks. Let's pray. Lord God, we just come before you in this everyday. And Lord, we are thankful that you act within it. Father, I just ask that you would help us be obedient to your nudges, just as Peter and John were, and how they transformed the everyday to an extraordinary day. Lord, we want to see that happen in our lives. In our everyday, we want to see the extraordinary things happen. We want to live for you and make a difference in our everyday. Amen.